Good morning and welcome to Focus. I'm Kimberly Cronick. Well, statistics released last year by the National Center for Health Statistics found that about 1% of babies are born at home each year, and the number of home births has increased in recent years. Midwives are often at these home births assisting the mother throughout her pregnancy. On today's show, we're exploring the midwifery model of childbirth and women's home birth options in Illinois and the nation. And we're doing this with three guests. Joining me in the studio is Ray Spooner, a certified nurse midwife at Carle Hospital in Urbana. Joining by phone are Katie Prown, campaign manager for The Big Push for Midwives, and Ina Mae Gaskin, a certified professional midwife, author, activist, and founder and director of the Farm Midwifery Center in Tennessee. Ina, Katie, and Ray, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
And
we're glad to be here.
And we welcome your questions and comments and invite you to share your questions about this topic and experiences at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. You can also email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. And I want to say thanks to Kyle Mabry, our technical director. Well, I thought we'd start the show by listening to some stories by families in Central Illinois who've experienced home birth. We've got a four-minute piece with snippets of three stories edited together. All three of these women in these stories had hospital births first and then home births with midwives. One snippet is from Tom Sheehan and Rebecca Butler in Champaign, who experienced an unassisted home birth. Second, we'll hear from Mike and Abby Fish in Towanda, who were assisted by a certified professional midwife. And in this first snippet, you'll hear from Ben and Amy Russell in Bloomington. They were assisted at home by a certified nurse midwife. There are longer versions of these stories on our website, but here's Ben to start us off.
I think after the 26 hours, your water broke, and then 26 hours, you know, when labor finally started, I knew that we were, that it was going to work out, that, you know, I always had in the back of my mind, we might have to go to the hospital. This is kind of unusual, and the hours kept going by, and you kept being more exhausted, so.
The level of care was just so different. In a hospital situation, this would have been an emergency, and we would have needed to have had Pitocin to get contractions starting, or we would have had a C-section. Mm-hmm. And Brandy, our certified nurse midwife, said, you know what, you're okay. You know what, 36 hours, we'll just talk and we'll have a discussion about what we need if we need to transfer. But at this point, you're at low risk for infection, so there isn't anything that we need to be concerned about. And for me,
right,
those, just the different level of care that we received was just so incredible.
We did use
evidence-based care.
Right. That's what I was picturing when I first heard about people having home births, that they just had the baby at home by themselves and hoped for the best. But what was it 2 weeks? We would go and see our
midwife,
and get checkups and listen to heart tones and do everything that we did with the other two at our doctor's office at the time.
I called my midwife. I called my doula and friend Sarah, and then my sister Sam, and then my other two friends. I just had everybody come because I knew things were going to pick up faster. We had music playing, we had candles lit, the lights were dimmed, it was just very relaxing. Then Sarah came, then my midwife's assistant came, then my midwife came, and she just gets her supplies out, gets whatever she thinks she might need, and
awesome.
Just watches me, just tries to figure out where I'm at in labor by my movements and my actions.
Yeah, it was just neat without having any medication or anything. You knew exactly where you were in birth. You knew what your body was doing. You knew when to go get the boys so they'd be there, and then you're in control and relaxed, and you knew what you were doing.
When I was pregnant with Carson and I was starting to get high anxiety about going to the hospital, just the people there and not feeling like I can stick up for myself and make my own choices and telling people I don't want certain procedures done. And then I started meeting people who had home birth. So I slowly started to learn about it and discover that was the best place for us.
When did you first think about wanting to have a home birth?
I think the first moment that I knew I was pregnant, the first time, it was one of the first things that I thought of. I didn't really even know anything about pregnancy and birth, but I started reading and just immediately knew that the hospital route wasn't what I wanted. What was the happiest moment of Clementine's birth?
You know, I don't know what the happiest moment is. I could tell you what the funniest moment was.
Okay, what was it?
Well, it was after her birth, and you felt another contraction come along, and it was after we cut the cord, and you had nursed a little bit, and we got up to take you into the bedroom to birth the placenta. And as you stood up, it just plopped out on the floor. That was the funniest.
That was definitely the funniest. And the most shocking.
Yeah.
And the biggest, messiest part.
I mean, if I had to pick a happiest moment, it probably was when, as she was coming out, I remember our midwife, you know, I said, one of the things, you know, I'm curious about is, like, you know, you always see on the TV, you know, they slap the baby to get them to cry and stuff like that. How do you get them, you know, to breathe? And she said, ah, they pretty much do it on their own. All you got to do is just kind of rub their back a little bit and say, come on, baby. Or,
hey, baby.
Or the baby's name. And so that's what I did, and that's exactly what happened.
Ina May, so let's start with you. We just heard some stories from Central Illinois. From a national perspective, how do they compare to what you're hearing across the nation as far as women and men who've had home births?
Well, I think that a lot of people do who do choose home birth have had a hospital experience before, and that makes up their mind because they find out a lot of things that they saw on television were maybe a little misleading because they might have expected that their obstetrician would be with them during labor. That, of course, doesn't happen. Obstetricians really don't have time for that. Or even that their midwife might have to be in and out of the room because he or she might have several other people that they're looking at after during the same time. And that's why doulas are becoming kind of an essential part of our care team in a lot of places.
Okay, I want to ask you, since about 1% of women, you know, have their babies at home and the others are in hospitals and birthing centers or places like the Farm Midwifery Center, you talk about in your book Birth Matters, the two different models of care. I think it might be helpful to the listeners. Can you describe the midwifery model of care and the medical model of care? Tell us about these two models.
Well, the midwifery model of care really is centered around the woman and the baby, the needs of the woman in labor, the needs of the baby as well. And so it's one-on-one care. It's continuity. That is, the same midwife is looking after you. Sometimes she might feel she needs to bring in someone else. But, again, that person would be well briefed on who you are, and hopefully you would have met them. It's low on medical intervention because when you have midwifery model of care, you're also talking about prenatal care, emphasizing good health, good preparation for what labor and birth will entail, good nutrition, good amount of exercise, and understanding of what your needs are likely to be in labor. So it's minimal use of technology, reserving technology only for those cases when it's really necessary. On the medical model of care, on the other hand, is based upon a birth is or pregnancy is an illness kind of model, more like there could be pathology at any moment. It might strike instantly. Maximal use of technology, it becomes routinized, you know, so that within the medical model, it's almost assumed that you would use technology, and you would have to argue strenuously not to use it, even though everything seems to be going all right.
Well, let me ask Ray, bring Ray in here. Ray Spooner, you are a certified nurse midwife at Carle Hospital in Urbana. You're one of six midwives at the hospital. Do you agree with Ina May Gaskin's explanation of the medical model of birth?
I do, but also practicing in a hospital as I do, I do provide the midwifery model of care, but they're not mutually exclusive, the two models. There are some times when, if things aren't progressing as they should, perhaps we'll need to use interventions, break someone's water or Pitocin to get to the ultimate goal, which is, you know, a healthy baby. So, yes, they are two very different models, but I don't believe personally they're mutually exclusive.
And I would agree with Ray on that, by the way.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about midwives who play a role both in hospital births and especially in the home births. Can you describe the different training and experience of the certified professional midwife and the nurse midwife? Ray, let's start with you. What kind of training and experience do you have to go through to become a certified nurse midwife?
Well, I started out a long, long time ago at good old Parkland, where I got my associate degree there at the local community college, and then completed my bachelor's degree in nursing through the University of Illinois here, and then I would commute up to Chicago for a couple of years to get my master's degree specializing in midwifery.
And you deliver babies strictly in the hospital, not at home?
That's correct, yes.
And Ina May, you're a certified professional midwife. What kind of training and education do certified professional midwives go through?
Well, at the time, at the time that I began in 1970, there really wasn't any known route to midwifery in this country. That's how new nurse midwifery even is. Although we had had the College of Nurse Midwifery had been started in 1955, there were very few women, even those who were comparatively well-informed, that knew there were any nurse midwives in the country. So I had to make my own path in. I actually have a master's degree in English literature. But I think that, and I apprenticed with a couple of doctors, but basically I just started attending births for women who had a strong desire not to go to hospital quite often because they were afraid of having a mandatory forceps delivery, which was the norm in that at that time. Two-thirds of U.S. women were having their babies pulled with forceps, whether or not it was important to do or not. And at that time, I should say that the cesarean rate was under 5%. So my case is really not very representative. Normally, a certified professional midwife, some of them actually are certified nurse midwives as well, but I would say the majority have a variety of backgrounds. Some have already had nurses training, but it is not mandatory to have that previous to coming in through certified professional midwifery certification. It involves having experience being the primary midwife at a certain number of births. That would be about 40. Being able to pass the examination and demonstration of the skills relevant to the job. And this certification is now legal by state statute in 27 of the states.
And I would like to add, this is Katie Brown, as a primary distinction between certified nurse midwives and certified professional midwives is that certified professional midwives actually specialize in out-of-hospital maternity care, and they're required to train in out-of-hospital clinical settings when they're studying to be a midwife, whereas nurse midwifery is primarily hospital-based, and also nurse midwives have a broader scope of practice in addition to maternity care. They also provide well-woman care and care for women throughout the lifespan, whereas certified professional midwives care for women exclusively during the childbearing cycle, and their focus is on healthy women experiencing normal pregnancies.
This is great. I want to introduce you, Katie, and I want to just say, caller on line one from Champaign. Hold on, we'll get to your question in one moment. But I want to say, Katie Brown, you are a campaign manager for the Big Push for Midwives. Tell us about your organization briefly and what you're trying to accomplish.
Our organization, the goal of our campaign is by professional midwives licensed in all 50 states. And as Ina May Gaskin pointed out, right now, 27 states, so just over half the states, legally authorized certified professional midwives to practice. In the rest of the states, including Illinois, we have a situation where women do not have access to licensed home birth providers or providers who specialize in home birth. And we tend to see the emergence of an underground market in maternity care where you have to know the secret handshake to get access to a midwife, and she may or may not have appropriate training. We've seen, unfortunately, situations of fraud in a number of states, especially in states with an Amish population. So it's a real concern that the lack of regulation in states like Illinois is putting women who are going to have their babies outside of the hospital, regardless of, you know, what the state medical society thinks, at risk of being delivered by an unqualified provider.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we are talking about home birth and midwifery in Illinois and women's legal options. With me is Katie Proud, campaign manager for the Big Push for Midwives. Ina Meg Gaskin, certified professional midwife, author, activist, and founder of the Farm Midwifery Center in Tennessee. And Ray Spooner, a certified nurse midwife at Carle Hospital. We do have a caller on line one from Champaign. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hi. First, I just want to say it's such a huge honor to be sharing a phone line with Ina Mae Gaskins, who's such a hero of mine. I am a home birth mother of a two-year-old who I gave birth to at a beautiful home birth attended by certified nurse midwives in Washington, D.C. And I chose home birth because I did the research on it, and I really got to understand what the differences were. I'd had such horrible experiences with different gynecologists in, you know, a medical setting and in a hospital setting, that it was a natural thing for me to go with having a midwife at home, and it was just such an amazing experience. But now that I've moved to Illinois, you know, we're contemplating perhaps having another child, and I really am seeking advice on how I would go about even finding, you know, an underground midwife here. I understand, you know, that it's not a legally recognized credential, and like Katie was saying, you know, it really does put women at risk, like myself, who are looking to have a home birth. How would you recommend going about even finding somebody who might be able to do one safely in this area?
Katie, that might be for you. Can you take that one?
Sure. Well, there is a Yahoo list, Illinois Friends of Midwives list, that you can go on. And you can start asking people there. Often your local Lolechi League might be a good source. Sometimes the local doulas will know who the midwives in your area are. But I would say the most important thing is that when you get a referral to a midwife is to make sure that she is a certified professional midwife. Try to get references from previous clients. In particular, I think as a consumer myself, it's helpful to ask for a referral to a client who required transport to the hospital. So you could see if you do develop risk factors that require transfer, does that midwife have good collaborative relationships with her local hospital? That is the biggest problem facing parents who choose home birth in the states where midwives are unlicensed and effectively operating illegally at risk of being arrested. Many times it has an inhibiting effect when they need to transfer clients to the hospital. In some states, midwives can't accompany their clients to the hospital because they will be arrested. And Illinois has a long history of arresting midwives and criminally prosecuting them. So it is a real problem, and unfortunately there's no easy answer for women like the caller who are looking for a midwife in a state where it's effectively underground.
Okay, thank you for that. This is a related question that came in on our will-talk@illinois.edu, and we welcome any comments or questions there or at 217-333-9455. This is from Ashley, who writes, this is for you, Ray. She runs an informal home birth support group in Urbana, and it says, one of the common themes to our discussions is the fear of harassment from hospital staff if home birther needs to transfer. I and many of my home birthing friends have experienced this, and every story of harassment makes it less and less likely for a home birther to transfer during a questionable labor. Ray, is Carle looking to do anything to alleviate our fears, and what policies, if any, does Carle have for treatment of home birth transfers? Can you answer that?
There are no policies per se. I think I would like to say that, yes, there was some dialogue underway, but the short answer to your question is no. It's interesting that we have Ina Mae as a guest because I've been to the farm and I've seen how she interacts with fellow midwives and patients, and the trust that they have in her is implicit. And when things perhaps don't go the way that we would like, their faith in Ina Mae gets them through that, even though the experience wasn't necessarily what they would have liked. So that brings us to the situation that you mentioned, where perhaps people don't want to transfer to the hospital because there's this lack of trust. And at present, unfortunately, the two sides are not even talking. So we have, I would like to say that we need to get there, but we are not on the road yet.
I wonder if I might add something, that the state of Virginia had a similar situation going on for some years. It should be said that in most states, there are at least a few obstetricians and other physicians who see the need for midwifery to be expanded. After all, only about 8% of U.S. women even have the choice of having a midwife in or out of hospital. And in Virginia, people who wanted better choices really got to work and pushed very hard on their representatives and demanded, really, that they be able to have a choice, because when you have only 1%, less than 1% of people giving birth in their homes, this is not a really very big problem in the sense that this is creating a danger, or this is a big problem in neonatal mortality or something like that. What we have problems with is a very big difference, even a gap, we could say, in knowledge of between that midwifery knowledge that you know Ray has spoken about and that I'm talking about as well, and what most obstetricians have seen of birth. We have higher complication rates in hospitals, understandably, because they're dealing with whoever comes, whereas those of us who are working at home have a selected population that comes to us because we don't willingly take on people who have immense problems, and we're going to hospital only when something develops in labor that requires attention. So this, we really need to have that gap bridged, and I'm cheered up by the fact that a lot of people who are interested in what we do now actually are coming from the medical side of things, because they too are concerned about the ever-rising induction rates, cesarean rates, and so forth, and they understand that those of us who work at home actually have some knowledge and skills that we can offer, because what we see is often so different that people who work in hospitals never dream that women can do that. I can remember when, for instance, episiotomies were absolutely routine, and I showed the first videos that OB residents had ever seen of a woman giving birth and having no injury at all to her perineum.
Well, I want to relate to something that came up about what you're saying about transferring and relationships between certified nurse midwives and home births. The Coalition for Illinois Midwifery has told us that in the 102 counties in Illinois, about 10 or fewer have those licensed providers, and that we know of from the home birth couple we talked to in Tawanda and Bloomington that there were at least two certified nurse midwives in the Peoria area that have those agreements with physicians, so they deliver babies at home, and if there's something wrong, the physician, you know, will accept them with open arms in their hospital. So we do know of at least two in this region. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to take a couple of calls and a comment on Twitter, but first this break.
I guess I can just never tell if guys are attractive in a loserly way, or it's like they're just losers.
The new season of Girls begins Sunday on HBO. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from the show's creator and star, Lena Dunham, and our TV critic, David Bianculli, reviews the first episodes of the new season. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. on AM 580.
If you've just joined the conversation, today on Focus, we're discussing midwifery, home birth, and women's legal options in Illinois and the nation. I'm joined by three guests. In the studio with me is Ray Spooner, a certified nurse midwife at Carle Hospital in Urbana. By phone is Katie Brown, campaign manager for the Big Push for Midwives, and Ina McGaskin, certified professional midwife, author, activist, and founder and director of the Farm Midwifery Center in Tennessee. We welcome you to join the conversation at 217-333-9455. or 800-222-9455. Or you can send a question or comment to us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Let me take the caller from Urbana who switched from hospital to home birth during her pregnancy. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I first wanted to just thank Ina May for her book, Spiritual Midwifery. It was a saving force in my pregnancy. It provided a framework that made sense to me. I received care from Carl through the midwives, and I got to 40 weeks, and that's, of course, the due date when babies are supposed to come out, and I got to 41 weeks, and they started talking about induction. I got to 41 and a half weeks the night before I was supposed to go in to be induced. I was terrified of being induced, not terrified, but very afraid that the intervention upon intervention, you know, being monitored constantly, not able to labor in water, that I would be facing a C-section. And if it turned out that that's what I needed, I was fine with it, but I felt like I had a loss of control over where I was going with this.
Well, this is often what I hear, that we have this stress that rises, you know, when a woman goes a day or so past her due date. I mean, some areas of the country, she will just automatically be induced at that point, despite the fact that we know that when the higher the induction rates, higher the C-section rate, because it seems now that there's a woman in labor is almost in a race against time. Of course, I'm old enough to remember when this wasn't the case, and it's not that our outcomes have improved in the time since when we were more conservative about C-sections than we now are. Of course, the World Health Organization put the upper limit at 15%, and when you go over that, then you are paying in terms of outcome with less good outcomes for the mother. You have a rise in maternal death and trauma, which is a significant factor that I think we should be paying more attention to, not to mention the increase in how much money we're investing into obstetric care. The average C-section will cost about $28,000, whereas the average vaginal birth will be $10,000 less that your insurance company or Medicaid is going to put out for it.
And I just want to add some statistics here. The Illinois Department of Public Health did look at cesarean rates in Illinois hospitals from 2004 to 2007. They did find a very large increase, and it's over 30% right now of C-section deliveries in the hospital. Ray, do you want to comment at all on the caller's experience or that rate?
The C-section rate that we have for the midwifery practice is, last time I collected statistics, around 12%. And perhaps you could say that's somewhat skewed because, as Ina May mentioned before, we do have an inherently low-risk population. But I believe the World Health Organization put their standard at around 12%. So as a practice, we are right on cue with that. As far as the caller's experience goes, it is a hospital. And we do have certain parameters within which we have to practice. And once you get to 42 weeks, you would risk out of midwifery care. So within the realm where we would like to preserve the autonomy of the patient and also the sanctity of the event, this isn't something we're going to try and force people to do, but we do say if you wish to stay with us, you have to deliver before 42 weeks.
Okay, thank you for sharing your story from Urbana. We've got a lot to get to. So question from Twitter. I'm wondering about midwives and potential moms over age 35, which is considered ancient in the medical birth business. Who would like to take that?
age 35, I remember that. But the whole concept, it's called advanced maternal age if you're over 35. But the whole concept of advanced maternal age is really going out the window, and for the most part all forms of genetic screening are being offered to all patients. It's not like if you're going to be over 35 at the date of delivery, you're branded. I see much less of that now. And plus, we live in a university community where a lot of people postpone childbirth in the pursuit of a career. So it's not, it doesn't make you high risk.
I would add that I would rather take care of somebody who was 40 with her first pregnancy and in good physical condition, well prepared for birth, than to take care of a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old who was who hadn't had a good, healthy lifestyle.
Okay, let's go to Hannah in Danville on line one. Hannah, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm a doula and also a local home birther. And my question's for Ray. I was wondering if you are familiar with Ina Mae Gatskin's sphincter theory, which is just one of my favorite things. But I was wondering how you think we could best work within the construct of that theory in the hospital. Like, can we avoid, you know, hooking people up to multiple monitors? Or, you know, how, as a doula, I'm interested in what you would say would be the best ways of getting women to relax.
The best ways to getting women to relax. A lot of that, well, relax is a relative term, I guess, but a lot of that is to do with, as I mentioned before, trust in the person taking care of you. And there are some cases, there are six of us in our practice, and you may not get to meet all of us, but we do, regardless of which one of us is going to be there at your birth, I can say that the care that you will get will be more or less the same. It will be one of us wanting to do what you want to do. Everything about that day will be with you for the rest of your life. So we can't have an off day. People remember things that I say to them. People run into me in the street and quote me things that I say back to them from 10, 15 years ago. So within the realm, as I said before, of making it the experience you want, a lot of people have plans. I don't personally have a plan because this is something that is far beyond the realm of normal day-to-day experience. So all I can say is trust yourself. Now, when you're pregnant, no one's telling you how to grow a baby, but your body's doing it. And when you come in to have the baby, perhaps you look to us for guidance, but my role is to get you to trust your own body.
Okay. Thank you for the call. We have quite a few to get to, so I'm going to move on here to a comment that came in at will-talk@illinois.edu. Samantha writes, just wanted to point out that even though people usually talk about the risks of home birth, there are in fact advantages to birthing at home. My healthy babies were never separated from me, breastfed immediately, did not have their cords clamped prematurely, received no drugs, and were not exposed to hospital germs. And that's from Samantha, a home birth mother of two from Paris, Illinois. Any comments on that from any of our guests?
Well, I can say that what struck me the most when I plunged into midwifery, which is what I mentioned before I had to do, beginning as I did in the early 70s, was that even with this supportive doctor in the nearby area who was used to working with Amish people, we really didn't have to go to the hospital very much. I was surprised by how well birth worked in woman after woman when we developed the skills of being calm during labor, learning how quickly a woman who has a moment or two of fright can be calmed just by kindness and tenderness and some calming words or touch. We didn't really have our first cesarean until we'd had more than 180 births out of hospital. We didn't have the second cesarean until we were around 320 or so births. So that showed me how well women are actually, women's bodies are designed, and how the importance of the woman's mind and emotions, and that the last thing that you want to do is increase stress as a woman comes toward the end of her pregnancy, so that she's all keyed up with a lot of adrenaline in her system. This makes it, can sometimes delay her going into labor. So our emphasis is always on de-stressing and provide more information and support so that she can work as well as she's designed to do.
Okay, thank you for that email, and Ina May, for your response to that. Let me go to another email that's come in. This one's from Urbana. As one who believes that medical world tries very hard to take over what the body can often do for itself, I'm just as leery of the whole home birth mentality. As much as physicians push medical intervention, my experience in talking to mothers who've had a home birth, they are just as fanatical in their refusal of any medical assistance, even when necessary. And she asks, is there a common ground with such a serious breach? Is there anywhere in the U.S. where the two entities have managed to work together in unity, managing to set aside their own agendas to find a happy medium? Katie or Ina May, can you take that
well,
one?
Well, I would say that we're just such an example of that because we are not out beating the drum for come to us, don't go to the hospital, the hospital's terrible, because that's not what we do. I've always valued the help that I got in the beginning from doctors, and I've continued to have good relationships with many obstetricians and family physicians doing obstetrics who are interested in our work and see its value. But I don't really want to take care of people who don't want to be staying at home. The person who's afraid of a home birth really shouldn't have one, and we wouldn't want to impose it on her. What we're really working for is that those women who have the opposite feeling, such as those that we've listened to earlier in the program, that choice is there, and that choice is not viewed as somehow irresponsible or perhaps criminal, or these have to be terrible parents. So I think that we have to realize that people have different needs. There are women who give birth much too quickly to get to hospital. That would be a category of person who certainly, if she's had that happen in a previous experience, it's likely to happen in another. So it's quite normal for some women to give birth in less than, let's say, after an hour of labor. These people know and profit by having a home birth attendant. But on the other hand, you have people who need to be in hospital. We need hospitals to be there, and I really don't know any midwives that would argue that we shouldn't have hospital birth.
One of the things that you just mentioned, people with different needs, there was a caller earlier who, as she got further past her due date, was fearing that the experience that she wanted would be denied her in labor. And you know, there are two sides of any story. I mean, we live in a day and age where, for better or worse, people can dictate their own health care. And a lot of times people just get to a point in the pregnancy where they're done, for either too much back pain, too much pelvic pain, or just sleep deprivation, and they want to know how soon they can be induced. And the other side of that is people is cesarean on demand. So, you know, there are some people who want no intervention whatsoever, and there are those who are talking from like 35 weeks onwards, how soon can I be induced? So, it's part of the problem is the system. It's not just the people within it.
And I wonder if I could add just one more thing to what mm-hmm. Ray just said. Ideally, what we would have is at every hospital where we have maternity care offered, that there would be certified nurse midwives on staff, and that certified nurse midwives and certified professional midwives in many states have very good relationships with each other. We know each other personally, or we take care to form these relationships so that when we do, those of us who work in the home need to bring someone in, that we have a smooth transition. And I do a lot of grand rounds around the country speaking to maternity staff at different hospitals, and I'm seeing that there are great efforts made in many places to knowing that when you have nurse midwives working on the staff and often part of the teaching of the new medical residents that are coming through, that these residents are excited about learning some of the midwifery skills that make for less use of unnecessary medical intervention. Even women who thought they maybe needed a lot of it can sometimes be helped to realize that their strength in their own bodies something that's quite relevant and empowering.
And I would like to add a comment about one of the factors that is driving the increase in out-of-hospital births that's often overlooked, which is economic. The increase in out-of-hospital births, radical increase that's taken place over the last few years, has coincided with the economic downturn, and also with increasing numbers of families who are saddled with these very high maternity care riders. And so if you talk to midwives in various states, increasing numbers of their clients are choosing out-of-hospital birth for financial reasons because they simply can't afford to pay out of pocket, you know, potentially $30,000 if they end up with a cesarean section that right now is about a 50-50 chance that it might be have been preventable had they been at home. So that's one of the factors that is increasing the number of out-of-hospital births in various states.
So that was Katie Prohn, and she's campaign manager for the Big Push for Midwives. We're also with Ina Mae Gaskin, certified professional midwife, author and activist, founder of the Farm Midwifery Center in Tennessee, and Ray Spooner, a certified nurse midwife at Carle Hospital. We are talking about midwifery, home birth, and women's legal options in Illinois and the nation. We're getting more calls. I want to go to Rebecca on line one from Champaign. Go ahead, please.
First, I just want to say thank you for having this conversation in our community. I think it's a great step forward that we're taking, even just airing this show. I guess my question is mostly for Ray. I had two hospital births with the midwives at Carle, followed by extensive prenatal care and eventually an unassisted home birth with my third daughter. My experience in the hospital with the midwives was I couldn't compare it at all to my experience with the home birth midwife in that every test was offered and kind of pushed on me. I don't feel like any of the midwives really listened very carefully to very earnestly, I guess, to my wishes for my pregnancy and my birth. During my 16 hours in labor in the hospital, I was repeatedly offered all kinds of pain relief, sleeping medicine. You know, I was made very aware of the clock that, you know, I guess it was 24 hours, and then they would have to do something or really want to do Pitocin or whatever. And I wonder, Ray, if maybe you could kind of highlight the difference between the midwifery care in the hospital versus, like, would it have been very different if I would have just gone with an obstetrician, or is it a money thing for the hospital and that the obstetrician probably costs more money, or maybe can you,
as far,
highlight that a little bit?
Yeah, as far as financial goes, I believe it's with the exception of some self-pay people, the financial aspect is the same regardless of who you choose. When you come into the hospital in labor, we work under the auspice of the obstetrician on call. And we have certain parameters. When you're in labor, if things aren't progressing at a certain rate or a certain speed, yeah, we do tend to meddle. That's just the nature of being in a hospital. I would like to say we try and make the experience as best we can what you want, but as I said, you're in a hospital and we like things to be progressing at a certain rate, and if they don't, we try and shepherd them along for better or worse.
One of the things that I'm this is Ina Mae, working with is that I documented some years ago that a case of a first-time mother in which her labor actually, her cervix closed after it had once been open, and I was able to get it to reopen by just asking her to change her attitude, basically, to stop being so serious and just to laugh even if she didn't think something was funny. And to my amazement, and I think hers, it did open. I was free to do that because I was at home. I thought it was kind of amazing. This is what, you know, the earlier call mentioned, caller mentioned that I've called sphincter law, or sometimes I've referred to this as PASMO. When stress levels go up in some women who are in labor, sometimes labor can come to a halt, or it can reverse itself. And it sometimes takes psychological support, emotional support, or just a change of mood to reverse this situation. I'm excited because I've met a couple of obstetricians in the last couple of months who said it happened to them. One is a female who it happened to herself in labor, and another is a male obstetrician who observed it in a woman in labor at his birth, at his hospital. And we're going to be writing this up because the truth is that, as Ray mentioned, when you have midwifery is really not very strong yet in our country because we're making a comeback from having been wiped out totally. So this means that obstetrics actually rules over midwifery within the hospital. And the one kind of birth situation that we have in this country where we midwives, we certified professional midwives, are able to respond really to what women actually need based upon their condition in labor, their vital signs, and those of the baby, and then to do a little experimental work with just changing the mood and how much the mood in the room, how much that can affect the course of labor. We're sort of the laboratory, you might say, of physiological birth, and we feel like that what we learn there, if we actually write about it in a way that's sensible, rational, and not, you know, polemic, that we can give some insight into how well birth works when we take into account not just the body, but the mind of the laboring woman. Her emotions, her emotional well-being can affect the course of labor.
Ray, you want to expand on that?
I couldn't agree more in that, you know, the uterus and the cervix, they're like any other muscles in the body. If you're tense, they tend to be tense. And I've often admired people who work in places like physical therapy where they see people for months on end in order to see some improvement in a patient's condition. But in the labor room, you know, if something's working right away, it's instant feedback. If you're trying to, be it just coaching in breathing or getting someone in the shower or in the tub, the change can be instant, whether someone could be stuck at a certain dilation for an extended period of time and you just try one thing and then within half an hour they're completely dilated and wanting to push. It is an amazing thing.
Ray, this question I think should go to you. It says here, it came on Twitter, it's sad that Ray and other hospital-based midwives have their hands tied by hospital policies. Ray, have you ever felt like your hands have been tied?
To some degree, they are, yes, but I value the collaborative agreement that I have with the people that I work with, and ultimately, they are responsible for everybody who is in labor and delivery. So whether or not, I'm not going to do something that would jeopardize that relationship. So, you know, we could call it your hands are tied. I don't look at it that way. I just want to maintain the level of collegiality and working relationship that we have with the doctors at Carl, and it's a very good one. And so, you know, I do what I feel is necessary to maintain that trust that we all have working together with the patient as well as the providers that I work with.
Well, we're not going to be able to get to this call, but I want to say I did have someone from Champaign-Perry said that kudos to you, Ray. You delivered his son 20 years ago. So just wanted to get that in there. Also, Carrie, who called in from Urbana earlier, was cut off. She just wanted to add, she emailed us here. It says, at 41 and a half weeks, I found a home birth midwife on the black market. After a thorough interview and much reflection, we decided to switch our provider. At 42 and a half weeks, I gave birth without intervention. after 13 and a half hours of labor. The feeling overall at home was of trust, just like we've been talking about. It was wonderful. I'm thankful for the turn of events in my life. We've only got a minute and a half. Katie Prown, I want to ask you real briefly. In 2006, you worked in Wisconsin to get a CPM licensure bill into law. In Illinois, as we've been talking about, certified professional midwives cannot legally practice. What is the situation in Illinois briefly? Where do you think it's going? Katie, are you still there? Okay, I'm sorry. I think.
Oh, sorry. I'm here. Illinois, sadly enough, ranks right up there with Alabama, with the distinction of being one of the states with the most hostile political climate for midwives in the country, a long history of criminal prosecution, a long history of the Illinois State Medical Society essentially buying off legislators year after year after year. It's been 20 years that this legislation has been active in Illinois. And the opposition from the ISMS has just been so strong that the consumer base here, which is also very strong, but has not been able to overcome that. So this session, though, they are looking at, you know, we have a bunch of new legislators, and so they're going to start reintroducing the issue to those legislators, let them know that they have worked in good faith with the Illinois State Medical Society for many years, have made many changes to the bill in collaboration with them. And so there's really no reason other than this ongoing turf battle for the ISMS to oppose it yet
okay.
again.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off. Thank you. We have to hand down there. I really apologize. Thank you for all the calls and questions. Thank you to my guests, Katie Prown, campaign manager of the Big Push for Midwives, Ray Spooner, certified nurse midwife at Carle Hospital in Urbana, and Ina May Gaskin of the Farm Midwifery Center in Illinois. We hope you've enjoyed our five-part series on midwifery and home birth in Illinois. My partners in this series were Travis Stanzel, Craig Cohen, Sean Powers, Jack Brighton, Mary Barano, Lisa Braltz, and Lindsay Moon. Comments are welcome. Will-talk@illinois.edu. You can listen again tonight at 8. Thanks.